The Prisoner, an allegorical series about a spy who was held captive in the village after his resignation, because as a spy, he knows way too many secrets. But why did he resign? Patrick McGoohan was the driving force creatively and also appearing as the defiant number six. This is Sci-Fi Talk, the podcast on how sci-fi, fantasy, horror, and comics help us explore our humanity. Chris Doc Wyatt and Gavin Hignite from their company Wandering Planet have a new line of prisoner action figures. Doc and Gavin, welcome on Patrick McGoohan's birthday.
Woo!
Today!
Good timing, huh?
Is that great or what?
Yeah.
And he's an American. He was born here in the States, in Queens. I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah.
So raised cool. In Ireland, of course. And guys, I'll give you my perspective on The Prisoner. This is back in when it aired in the States, and the Jackie Gleason show was on hiatus for the summer. And then I saw The Prisoner. I watched the first episode, and I came back for every single episode. I was a young guy then, but, you know, the themes that stood out to me was the individual, to be an individual, the rights of an individual. And I think those are timeless themes. So it was so wild to see it on broadcast TV with commercials of all things too, but I did like the bars crashing. That really kind of helped the transition a little bit.
From
selling soap. What you guys are doing, you're going to actually put out action figures or collectible figures of some of the most memorable prisoner moments and characters. I got to ask you, and you know, whoever can answer, obviously these are owned by somebody. So probably Sir Lou Grade and ITV probably owns the rights to these. So how did you convince him or whoever holds them to say, hey, this is what we want to do?
I'll jump in real quick. You know, what's exciting for us is just over 2 years ago, we launched wave one of these figures, you know, starting with number six. And we had number two from Free For All. And we, of course, did number 12 from Schizoid Man because he was an easy figure to do along with number six. And as we speak now, we're about to roll into our second wave, which really allows us to explore more number twos and some other characters from the village. I, and this is Gavin speaking, I had originally reached out to ITV. Doc and I were interested in Space 1999.
Yeah.
And so we reached out in regards to that, and the license for small action figures on Space 99 was spoken for. And we looked at what they own. We're like, oh, someone here is talking to us. That's nice, because we're nobodies, right? We're new at this. Someone did answer the phone and would talk to us, essentially, via emails through our attorney. And we saw ITV owns The Prisoner, and it was just like, we have to do this.
Yeah.
This has to be done. So we, Doc is a lifelong huge fan, and I had come to it later in life, but it just, we knew we wanted them on our shelf as fans of the show and toy collectors, and that's kind of what sparked it.
There is more Sci-Fi Talk on The Prisoner action figures in a moment.
I have to ask this, have you gentlemen, either of you gentlemen, been to Port Mary?
I have. Gavin and I, in our sort of day jobs, when we're not running a toy company out of his garage, we're TV animation writers. And my writing partner, his name is Kevin Burke, and I were running a children's TV show called Transformers Rescue Bots Academy for Hasbro. And we did, our animation studio was in Ireland, in Dublin, a company called Boulder Media. And we were out there for a round of meetings. And when the meetings were over, I took the ferry across to Wales, and I got to stay in one of the village suites seats. So I stayed overnight in Port Marion. I at night, I watched Prisoner episodes and then got out and walked out and found the locations where those episodes were shot.
God.
It was amazing. I honestly never understood the stone boat until I was there. They would talk about the stone boat and they'd have people on the stone boat.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are they talking about? I thought it was like maybe a beached boat or whatever, but I mean, it's like their deck. Like their deck is just in the shape of a, yeah. And I never understood what the stone boat was until I was standing in the stone boat. So yeah, it was a pleasure to go to Port Marion.
Wow.
And I'll say that our wave one of our action figures are currently at the Port Marion. Port Marion has a gift shop.
That's right. In
the building that was the exterior of Number Six's apartment.
That's right.
And it's a prisoner gift shop, and they are carrying wave one of our action figures. And soon, very soon, they will have an exclusive, like within the next couple of weeks, they will have an exclusive Port Marion edition of Number Six, the Number Six figure on a Port Marion card back. You can't get it anywhere in the world except for at the Port Marion gift shop.
Hey, that's fantastic.
Yeah. How cool is that? Yeah. They've been great to work with us.
That's wonderful.
Very, very pleasant, very excited about what we're doing and very supportive. And we're so excited that we're going to be able to, you know, do a version of the figure that is exclusive to them. Yeah.
Yeah.
What I also like what you guys are doing is that you're tying figures to certain of the key episodes. Well, really, a lot of the episodes. And I think that's cool. Speak about that. I mean, and actually, we'll talk about one of the most on-demand figures that I'm a little surprised, but I can see why. But we'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, talk about the how you're packaging the different.
Sure. It kind of just evolved naturally. I think that when you are a fan of the show and you talk about the show, you reference two things, right? The episode title and the number two who he's up against.
Yes.
You know, oh, that's the Mary Morris episode or Dance of the Dead number two.
Yes.
So I think, you know, we really liked the idea of doing a two pack. I just, in my head, had this, I love the title screens. And I love the idea of a box that was the title screen and you could slide the figures out and then, you know, display your figures in front of the title screen. So often, I mean, the show is just so well layered and there's so much to its DNA that I think a lot of those little details, I don't think Doc and I sat at a table looking at each other and said, let's do it. You know, we should do it. I think it just kind of evolved out of, you know, our love for these specific episodes.
I mean, the thing is that with The Prisoner, there's so few recurring cast members, right? I mean, Prisoner is that Patrick McGowan's back in every episode and almost every episode. And like the butler, of course, and the supervisor. But beyond that, there's just so you don't see the same faces more than one. I mean, Leo notably is number two for two stories, three episodes, two stories. Other than that, you almost have to take an episode by episode approach just because you only see the taxi driver in one episode. You only see Peter Wingard was only in one episode. So it only sort of makes sense to kind of approach it episodically.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Leo McKern, I read in the email I got that he is actually one of the most requested action figures or collectibles
easily.
There was two questions that always came up from backers on our Kickstarter for Wave One and for fans that reached out. Question number one, are you going to make the white ball? Are you going to make an inflatable rover? And question two is, when do I get Leo McKern?
Wow. Oh.
And I get it, because for me as a kid, I found Prisoner when I was about 12 years old, 13 years old, as a young teenager on a PBS station in Georgia, and it blew my mind. And Leo by far stood out as his performance in Fallout.
Yep.
is so astonishing. I mean, I just couldn't get him out of my head. And of course, the iconic image from Chimes of Ben of him, you know, with his legs folded up, crisscross applesauce in the egg chair, you know.
Yes.
Sphere chair. I mean, it's so iconic. Like, I get it. You close your eyes and think of the prisoner. He's one of the people you think about.
He really is. And really also the butler. Never totally. Said a word. But obviously people want to have the butler where you could pair him with number six if you want to, or any of the totally. Number twos.
You absolutely can. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's what a cool character and a fixture to the village, right? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
You feel like, if anyone knows what the heck's going on in that place, it's that guy. Like, number right. twos come and go, figureheads come and go, power figures, but the soft power is hidden with the butler, who always survives, right?
Yeah, yeah.
In my first run watch of it, I actually thought he was number one.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that he never changes.
That's right.
I thought he was secretly number one. Like an undercover boss kind of situation.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's what I assumed, and boy, was I wrong.
Yeah. Well, the thing I think that is chilling to me is that the last episode, Fallout, when he's back in London and the butler is taking care of him, and it's a very subtle thing, but I remember seeing it many times when I repeated watchings. When the door to his apartment closes, you hear the same sound of his flat in the village, and it was like, whoa. And it was like the theme stood out. Look, we have, and here in the States we have social security numbers, we are a number whether we don't want to be. And I always thought the theme was, in a way, we're all prisoners sometimes, as the Eagles say, of our own device sometimes.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, 100% right. I think that is, when you boil the prisoner down to one single message, it's that the whole world is a village.
Yeah. 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 I mean, that when he was back, it was like, is he really? And that just leaves you with, is he really free? You know,
yeah.
There was kind of a feud going on during the making of the series. I know you're familiar with this, but the story editor, Markstein wanted to do more of a spy, you know, pretty much a spy type of a show. And you can tell his episodes because they're more spy oriented, but McGoohan really wanted to stretch the boundaries.
Yeah.
So I think Markstein actually left during the course of the series, and then McGoohan was pretty much left to his own devices. But that was an interesting thing.
I think that Markstein, I mean, for Markstein, it was always, it is John Drake.
Yeah.
This is the next iteration of Danger Man.
Yes.
It is John Drake. John Drake retired. He went to this village.
Yeah.
I think for McGoohan, it very much was, look, I did the Danger Man thing. I did the Secret Agent Man thing. And that has fueled this. But that doesn't have to be this. Like, he was definitely coming from like a more abstract, you know, Waiting for Godot sort of Irish playwright perspective. Yes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think it probably took both men's voices to make the series what it is.
Absolutely.
But I have to say that I absolutely am happy that in the end, McGoohan's ending, I mean, that the ending, I have heard people who are like, oh, I hate that abstract, you know, it makes no sense or whatever. Like, they wanted a Markstein ending, you know.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that. The Patrick McGoohan ending is so pitch perfect for me.
Yeah,
just goes to these wonderful places, but like stretches what television could be, you know. And I'm so happy he got that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and it's, you have to wonder too if it's, you know, people, we've met multi generations of prisoner fans through doing these figures.
It's incredible.
And you know, I've not met multi generations of other shows from that era. Yeah. And so it's the surrealism, the Kafkaism,
yes,
it's made it timeless, right? It's made it a show that, you know, you can enter in any decade and enjoy it makes it not dated in a way. So, you know, maybe that's why we're all here, right? As fans and holy smokes, selling action figures for a show that's 50 years old, you know?
Yeah, yes. I mean, I think that Danger Man was a great show. It was a great show. Great black and white photography.
He won a BAFTA, I think, for that, as a matter of fact.
He did. He was the highest paid actor in the UK.
At the time, he was, yeah.
At the time, yeah. And it launched a whole, I mean, it launched spy-fi as like a genre. But at the end of the day, I think people rewatch Danger Man because it's the precursor to Prisoner.
Yes.
You know, Prisoner is, and the sort of liberties with the television medium that McGoohan took with the Prisoner sort of makes, gives an extra gravity or weight to Danger Man that sends, or what we called Secret Agent Man in the States, that sends people back to it. But if there were no Prisoner, I think it would be, you know, in the files with, you know, other shows of the era, Department S and stuff like that.
I agree with that. Do you have any of the figures we can actually look at? Because this will go on YouTube as well.
And this sure. This I should have combed my hair.
That's no, okay. This won't be released until you know the Kickstarter goes live. So you don't have to worry about that.
Do you have a VFX apartment that can make me look a little better?
Or, no, unfortunately, no.
Well, I keep this guy front and center on my.
Oh, there he is.
He inspires me so greatly.
Oh my God.
I love this figure. It's number six from Checkmate.
Checkmate.
You know, one of my favorite details from the episode and that we had to get right in the figure is how he haphazardly puts the cape on one shoulder saying, I am not a pawn in your stupid game. I'm barely playing along. And he's on, you know, one of our figure stands we did of the penny.
Oh, look at that. I love it. Yeah. I love it.
So, yeah, we always keep he's always on my desk front and center. Do I have any other in the office? Maybe. Prototypes. Who do I have? Well, yeah, I think that's all I have front and center. But
well, that was a good one. That was a really good one.
Yeah, real excited about him. We, you know, the first wave was the Checkmate version of six. A fun little anecdote and an interesting thing about doing a toy on Kickstarter is you get feedback in real time.
Sure.
And Doc and I approach these figures like they would have been made in like the early 80s because it's an 80s style figure and that's when a lot of Americans got turned onto the show. And so we thought, well, if this came out from like a Kenner or Amigo, he would have the six badge on his lapel. Like that's just how toys were made then.
Yeah.
And there was two camps very quickly that presented themselves in the fandom. The why the hell would he have the badge on? Because that's against everything he stands for. I want a toy without the badge.
Yeah.
And then there's the people who get the retro toy thing. So we very quickly were like, well, let's do two editions. And we did a different version. We nicknamed it Beach Escape because it's, you know, like the card back is a scene of him, you know, when he's a fleeing rover in the village on the beach.
Yes.
So it's kind of fun. In our first wave, we did him both ways with the badge and without. And that was directly from conversations with fans and backers as the you know, the juggernaut, which was Prisoner action figure fandom, started rolling.
This wave is when is it going to be available again so people know?
Yeah. So we're looking at probably launching wave two. And as Doc has probably heard me say a million times, wave number two. we're looking at mid-April, maybe cool. Second week of April. And it's really, this is going to play after we've launched, around the time we've launched?
Yeah, around the time you launch.
Oh, so we can talk freely about who's available.
Absolutely. Yeah,
so,
I'm going to dovetail your opening, so don't
worry. Awesome. Well, this is, you know, wave number two is a real love letter to all our favorite number twos to go with your number six. But we're throwing in a couple new versions of number six as well. So I'll let Doc speak to that.
Yeah, we absolutely have had on our list since we started a version of Number Six that we just wanted to make, which is from The General, when he disguises himself with the top hat and the glasses so that he can sneak into the committee meeting in order to discover the general. And it's such a distinct look for him. It's so cool. And so we've got that figure in the lineup. We've got the General Number Six. So you can stick it next to your Checkmate to get these different looks for Number Six. Also, he's very notably in Chimes of Big Ben, you know, when he's building the ship and when he's getting, you know, escaping, he very notably has on this blue windbreaker that is different than the normal, the jacket with piping. And we are doing, you'll get to see a Big Ben Number Six with him in the blue windbreaker. Very distinct look, looks really cool on him.
Wow.
And the Jenny Moore is our graphic designer. She worked with us through Wave One. She's worked with us on our Nancy Drew figures. She's one of our secret weapons. The card backs, the art that she's created for our carded figures on Wave Two are just, they're just stunning. And the Chimes of Big Ben windbreaker Number Six really comes to mind for me. It's a, just a, I really feel like you could take the card backs from the second wave of figures and display them all on the wall together as art, because she's just picked the great images from the show. That one in particular, I'm like, ooh, put it in a frame, frame it.
Where are the figures actually made?
So like all, almost every single action figure ever right now, manufacturing's in China. It's just, there is, that's just the way the world is built now. When Doc and I launched, you know, being in America, we were like, it would be really cool if we could manufacture in an American factory. Doesn't exist. It just does not exist. And then our second thought was, well, it'd be really cool to manufacture in Mexico. And it, the quality that we needed for a collectible figure, we had to go to China, and we didn't know where to go. We have a friend named Bill at Fresh Monkey Fiction who brought Eagle Force back from the dead in action figure form, and he's gone on to do a wonderful line of Santa Claus figures. Bill kind of shepherded us into working with his contacts and his factory, because, you know, wow, is it you know, it's scary to get in business with an entity and factory you've never met on the other side of the world. And for Prisoner Wave One, it was during the pandemic, so we didn't even have an option of visiting. But we love our factory. They've plussed and upped everything we've sent them. I think our Wave One Prisoner figures are amazing. But then I look at what we're doing with Nancy Drew in Wave Two of Prisoner, and it just feels like, you know, it's like when you watch a TV show, the pilot's, you know, pretty cool. And then you get to, towards the middle of the end of the first season when everyone's up to speed, and it's like, this is the show I love. This is the time. And I feel like our toy manufacturing is kind of speeding up and is on a similar trajectory.
That's nice. That's nice to hear that. Yeah, I mean, when I heard about this, I'd say, I got to talk to these guys. I mean,
this is
a no-brainer, because, I mean, I'd love the series. And as I said, as a young man back in 1967 when it aired, 68 maybe the latest, I was like, made such an impression on me. And it still has, you know, every time I see it, I get something different out of it. And Port Marion is on my list of places I really want to visit.
Now you have to go so you can get an exclusive figure.
I would love to do that. I would love to do that. You know, I got to get one of those jackets too. I do.
Oh, totally. Doc, you know? Do you have one? If all the people I know who should have one, Doc.
No, I have a Number Two scarf.
Okay.
That's fitting.
That's great. I love the attention to detail. The figure I saw was like, which I don't know if she was a Number Two or not, but she had the scarf, and they wore those striped sweaters.
Oh, yeah. And the cape.
I was like, wow. I said, These guys obviously know this show. You just can't put this together if you don't know the show.
We really did try to explore the details of the show through the accessories that come with the figures. Mm-hmm. That was a really good... And once again, it's just the strength of the show, that all these artifacts exist that instantly, you know, tell you what it is. But yeah, you did kind of remind me that we have number 50 from It's Your Funeral.
Yeah.
As a figure. She's going to be fantastic. She has the shoulder cape.
Yes.
We have number, I guess this is debatable. I didn't really understand this till we got into it. Number 16 or maybe number 18, otherwise known as the taxi driver.
Yes. Oh, great.
What an impression she left, right? For being in a show for maybe 4 minutes.
Yeah.
So little screen time, and yet she's sort of introduces us to the village, teaches us about the village. Yeah, she stays in your brain for a long time.
Yeah, she does. So I got to ask, is as far as plans, like the vehicles, like the actual vehicles, is that something you guys are looking into? And even his iconic car that he drives.
Oh, yeah. Beginning. Car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, at the beginning of every episode. No, we are very interested in doing the Mini Moke vehicle and in also the in Lotus, his car. Yeah. But that's sort of we are a tiny little indie toy company. You are looking at the entire staff of the company. We operate out of Gavin's garage. I was just at Gavin's garage yesterday. The vehicles are a level of sophistication in terms of manufacturing that we haven't achieved yet.
Yeah.
But we are very, like, there's been such a great response. And ITV has been such good partners that we are, if there is a wave 3, we hope to bring vehicles to that wave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it is, for a collectible toy, you know, action figures are pricey enough for the tooling, for the manufacturing, for a car. And it's why you don't see more play sets these days for collectibles or more. It's just, it's a bigger prize to reach for. But we started some preliminary research on it. We think the fan base is there, because that's the other thing is, you know, 3 years ago, Doc and I didn't know if people who collected toys and people who were fans of The Prisoner crossed over. It was a little bit of a gamble on our part to put so much money into launching the Kickstarter. Luckily, we were right. There were many people out there like us who wanted to celebrate the show with figures. So much so that now I think we feel a little more confident about, we got to have the, so I could ramble about it, but yes, we would love to make the cars. It's on our short list. And, we have a couple surprises coming out in 2024. As we work through those, hopefully we'll see how to do the cars.
Have you reached out to like the Prisoner Society? I think six of nine or six of one.
We spoke to them very early on, and they've been super supportive of our effort. Yeah,
they've been very generous to us. They did an article about us in the magazine that they do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're going to get out to the convention out there?
Haven't made it to their convention.
We would love to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me too. You know, it was a virtual convention when we were launching Wave 1 because of the pandemic.
Right.
So they actually, we did a panel. We did a virtual panel for that version. Nice. Would love to make it out there one day. I would like to see Port Mirian regardless, but during that would be crazy.
Excuse me, impressed with the people, you know, wearing, you know, cosplaying from the different episodes and the level of detail for it. People of all ages, that, you know, it really depends when you discover the series, but it's it's one of the few places that was pretty much, that was the set for the entire series. And it's still there. Like, you know, you can't visit the original Bridge of the Enterprise. That's gone. No. There's copies of them, and one in upstate New York that it's also on my list. But Port Mirian is still there. People still visit and stay. And The Prisoner has a lot to do with it. And I love that they honored Patrick with a bust of him there as well. So
yeah, it's a great sculpture.
I wonder what he would think. I think he would. I think he'd be flattered. I really do.
I think he would be.
Yeah, I think he would.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
You know, part of our making the toys was just out of our love for what he created. Yeah. You know, it was really a way for us to try to participate and celebrate.
Yeah, I agree. I think what would surprise him is how it has endured all these years. I think that would surprise him because he obviously didn't set out to make something that was going to last. He just wanted to put out his vision. He had a lot of control that was unprecedented for an actor in those days. And look what happened. It's just, we're still talking about it and we're still watching it. You know, it's just an amazing series. Guys, what you're doing is phenomenal. I'm just totally impressed with it. And anything that keeps the show alive and introduces people to it, I think is a great thing. And obviously there's a lot of love and care for the characters and making the figures right that you guys put into it. From what I've seen, and even today, the details on the Checkmate number 6 are just phenomenal, you know.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it's fun. It's just, you know, at the end of the day, Doc and I just want to have fun, you know.
That's the main thing, is as long as you're having fun, it's not a chore. You know, that's the thing. That's So one last thing before we go, what about price-wise, what are we looking at for like a figure?
As we're recording this, we are still dealing with pricing issues with our factory. However, by the time this airs, you'll be able to go on Kickstarter. We'll have all the pricing laid out.
Fantastic.
And hopefully it won't break the bank.
Yeah, I think for some people, I've seen other figures and what they go for. And, it's pretty ridiculous for some of them, but I mean, you're talking hundreds of dollars easily.
Yeah.
But something like this, I think this is not something you see every day at a convention. So it's a little different. So it is.
And we've worked really hard to make them realistic.
Yeah.
You know, and they are a smaller run. So when there's less made, it means, you know, more per unit.
Yeah.
And that's a challenge for us. But we're trying to be as competitive for the 4-inch style retro 5-point articulated figure as possible, just given how small we are. And I do feel like for say what we were retailing, what we could have wave one or what our first Kickstarter mounts were, I think as soon as folks got them in their hands, there was no debate that, you know, okay, these are worth what I paid.
Yeah, good. Thank you again, guys, and happy heavenly birthday to Sir Patrick McGoohan.
Mr. McGoohan,
He, boy, what he did, I'll never forget, and what an actor, too. Just a little trivia, my first exposure to him was actually on The Wonderful World of Disney, The Scarecrow of Romney Marsh.
Wow.
Which is, he played Dr. Sin, who was a preacher by day, and a vigilante who dressed as a pretty frightening scarecrow at night. And he was terrific. He even changed his voice. I mean, if something like that would have come out now with the superhero things that we're into right now, I think people would be a lot more interested in it. But it made an impression on me, too. But as an actor, the Columbo episodes.
Oh, yeah.
I Station,
love the Columbo episodes.
I Station Zebra, which, of course, great was movie. The reason he wasn't on one episode.
Yeah, the reason. That's right.
But it's just, he was an amazing artist. And this is his crowning achievement, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, agreed.
Thank you guys for your time and keep up the great work. I think you have a lot of people that really want you to do what you're doing.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Including me.
I appreciate it.
Visit WanderingPlanetOfficial.com. I just want to point out some of the figures that are coming available in Wave 2. The Taxi Driver, number 16, played in the series by actress Barbara Yu Ling, available with her scarf and also her signature striped sweater.
And there's a number six second edition. The first edition of number six sold out. That was in wave one. And they have created a special second edition featuring a unique card back that was talked about during the interview. What's also interesting are the episode two packs, like the Chimes of Big Ben and also It's Your Funeral. This way, it's a great way to get two for the price of one. The Chimes of Big Ben, you get number two, played wonderfully by Leo McKern, and The Butler, played by Angelo Muscat. So you can get both of those as well. There's even a set for It's Your Funeral, featuring number two, played by Darren Nesbitt, and number 100. What did the series A Prisoner show us about our humanity? This sci-fi spy hybrid is allegorical to its core.
I will not make any deals with you. I've resigned. I will not be pushed, filed, stamped, indexed, briefed, debriefed, or numbered. My life is my own.
Is it?
Those words, what stand out to me, are the rights of an individual to be what he or she wants to be. In America, we have social security numbers. In most cases, right after we're born.
Numbered.
There's a file on us, starting with our birth certificate.
Indexed.
I saw a documentary about The Prisoner, In My Mind, directed by Chris Rodley, where Patrick McGoohan eventually opens up about his series. The quote that stands out to me is when he said, "We're all prisoners of something, aren't we?"
Timeless.
The Prisoner, as you heard during the interview, The Prisoner affected me in so many ways as an impressionable young man, and it's still affecting me now. Every time I see it, as I said, I get something new. And it makes me think even more about the two precious things, individuality and freedom.
Customizable podcast playlists, exclusive videos, special episodes like the Mix 100 podcast selected by listener downloads. All this and more at Sci-Fi Talk Plus. And now with 1,000 episodes uncut and a special offer for free lifetime access now available until May 1st, click on the link in the show notes. No anonymous signups are allowed.
This is Tony Tolato. Be seeing you.
Where am I?
In the village.
What do you want?
Information. Whose side are you on? That would be telling. We want information.
Information. Information.
You won't get it. By hook or by crook, we will.
Who are you?
The new number two.
Who is number one?
You are number six.
I am not a number. I am a free man.